Turn to Psalm chapter 27, if you would please. Psalm 27 in your Bibles. We speak this morning about living with confidence. Psalm chapter 27, begin in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. We are living in some very unsettling times. Uncertainty. In many ways, the security breaches in the financial realm. It seems like almost every week you hear about some other, Home Depot was a recent one, but it's, a lot of other places as well. The unrest in the Middle East, and that's just a powder keg that could blow at any moment. The out of control and corrupt federal government that we're saddled with. It's becoming even more oppressive and aggressive against especially Christians, our vacillating president, the rising prices of so many things and taxes and so forth. And, many of the things that people, when I was younger, used to trust in and have confidence in, just you can't. You used to be able to trust the news media to some degree. You can't. They lie to us all the time because they've got an agenda. And so much has going on in our world to cause us maybe to have some fears about some things and some concerns about things. But in the midst of all this uncertainty and instability and chaos, there's something there's an oasis of hope for us. We've got some things that we can be confident in. A God who we can trust to place our complete and unreserved confidence in him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Number one, I'm confident in God. I'm confident in his existence. My God, he exists. He's here. He's real. Look at Psalm 19, Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God reaches everywhere. There's no limit to where he is. There's no limit to what he can do. God is everywhere, and I'm confident in his existence. You say, prove it. I can't. But I know he lives in my heart. I know he's here. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. You talk with some educated people, or at least those who they think are educated. And, they want to argue about God's existence and everything and, the validity of the Bible and so forth. Daniel's a good example of God's validity. The things that Daniel saw and revealed, no man in and of his own strength and knowledge and wisdom could have known. The future kingdoms that were going to come and so forth. And just this example right here, though this specifically might be a little bit difficult to prove, but look what he says here. Daniel chapter 2, start of verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons." I believe that. Oh, it's global warming. No, it's not. And it's not climate change either. It's God. He's in control. And we're not going to destroy this planet until God's done with it. Now, I understand that we have a responsibility to be good stewards of that which God has given to us. But God's in control. There's a march taking place today. It's the People's March for Climate, I think is what the thing. It's taking place in I believe it's Manhattan. But I saw something yesterday that was interesting. Joe Bustardi, I don't know if you're familiar with him, the Weather Bell analytics guy. He's a meteorologist who used to work for AccuWeather till they canned him because he didn't believe in global warming. So that gives you an idea where he's at. But he had a thing on his little blurb yesterday about the weather, and he mentioned this thing, and then he listed a number of groups that are supporting this march in New York City today. The People's Communist Party of the U.S., the Democratic Socialists, and this all this bunch of communist and socialist organizations that are supporting the March on Climate. It's part of that chaos they're trying to create and undermining our country. But God's in control of it. We aren't going to destroy it till He's done with it. He sets up the season. Going on here, He removed kings and set up kings. Even Barack Obama. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven." That's who Daniel was tapped into. That's who Daniel got his answer from, to be able to do what these others that he listed here could not do. They reveal his secrets and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. And then he goes on and talks about what God revealed to him. And again, that which no man could possibly have known. The kingdoms that would follow Babylon, conquer Babylon, and come to power. And the one that conquered Babylon, and the one that came after them, and the one that came after them. Daniel revealed those things. Explain that, please. You can't. Except for God. I know He exists. I know He's here. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. I got the witness in me. I don't need proof. I don't need archaeological support for what I believe. I've got the record, and I've got the witness. That's all I need. I know He exists. Madeline Mary O'Hare, I'm sure all of you are familiar with that name. did a lot to try to fight against God in the 60s and was successful in many ways and getting God removed from the public school system and even started the process of removing God from the public arena as well. But you know, Madeline Murray's son, Billy, who was the, she was the tool which he was the tool which she used to attack prayer in the public schools, got saved. And today he's an evangelist, a Baptist evangelist. Been saved for a long time. It's not something new. He's been ministering for a number of years, many, many years. He's older than I am. But that's God's sense of humor, isn't it? Okay, Miss O'Hare, let me show you something. It's said that Voltaire, the great skeptic and a famous 18th century skeptic who fought against God and talked about, you know, God being, you know, if there wasn't a God, we'd have to invent one and all kinds of nonsense about that and claimed that God would cease to exist and be believed after a while. After his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought one of his places, one of his houses. I don't know what they use it for exactly. Some said that Bibles were even printed from there. I haven't been able to verify that. But God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? Because he's there. He's real. He exists. Secondly, I'm confident of God's ability. Some testimonies this morning just of how God's answered prayer. God was there in a time of need. And, you know, we look at that and you think, well, you know, big deal. They fixed the glasses. Yeah, but she prayed about that. God's attentive. God cares. And God is able. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How do you answer that question? And before you answer it, do you really believe that? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. 90 years old. Abraham was 99. God waited till it was clearly past the time of someone being normally capable of bearing children to give to Abraham and his wife this promised son. Because God says, I want to show you I'm able. I want you confident in my ability. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. This is speaking about Abraham and Sarah. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it's not a matter of just one of them being able, not the other. God says, I want you to make sure that you understand neither of these is humanly capable of doing this. Because both her womb and his body, both dead. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You say, well, what about Hagar and Ishmael? Yeah, that was before this. And God has just put the past behind. and put it out to Abraham and said, okay. And Abraham believed. To the point where it came, he says, okay, and I want you to sacrifice that son to me. He raised the knife and was ready to plunge it into that boy's chest because he said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're able to give me that seed that you promised through this boy. God is able. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. I like this verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's not just barely able. It's not a matter of squeezing just to get there. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Whether it's a pair of glasses, whether it's a health need, whatever it might be, God's able. Now granted, he may not always be willing, but he is able. He is always able. He is more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm confident in God, his existence and his ability. Secondly, I'm confident in his word. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The word of God, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments, all synonyms for the word of God, capable to do all these things in our lives. This book we can be confident in. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Passages I know you're familiar with, but doesn't hurt to go back and read them again. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As if God himself spoke it. What we have here to read. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God says, with this, I've got all I need. I'm perfect, truly furnished. Kyle and Rebecca, getting that house ready. It's not furnished. Gary said it'd be better just to level it and start over again. This is truly furnished. Like a house that doesn't need anything, not even dishes in the cupboards or the food in the pantry, truly furnished to make me perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, everything that I need, the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And I know I've been through this before, but just to make sure you get it. Peter's talking about when he and James and John were with Jesus Christ in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, we saw before our very eyes as Jesus Christ changed. His countenance changed. His hair became, and garments became white and glistening. White as snow. He saw Jesus Christ in His glorified body. He, James, and John. He says, we were eyewitnesses of that. I stood there, and then we heard that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellence of glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But he says, all that said, all that we saw, you know, we're not giving you cunningly devised fables. This is an eyewitness testimony of what we experienced, and we put it down. He says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure than a vision and a voice from heaven. Whereunto ye do well that you take heed. As a light that shineth out of darkness. And until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm confident in this book. And in fact, it warns us about being confident in some uncertain things as well, like time. You know, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Fleeting riches. Don't put your confidence in riches. Security breaches, stock market crashes, thieves, all kinds of things. There's one thing we put confidence in, God and His Word. I'm confident in God. I'm confident in His Word. Thirdly, I'm confident in His salvation. You know, a lot of people lack that. That certainty, that assurance that they're saved. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 1. My little children, these things write on you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I saw a video, and it showed these people, you know, there's two men standing there, and they had a meter behind them. It said, very bad to very good. And each person was coming up, and they had a file in their hands, and they would hand it to the two men standing there, and they'd open up the file, and it was your life, you know. Well, here's what I've done. You know, I've tried to do good, and I've tried to help people out and so forth. Okay, step on the scale. Very bad. You go this way. Next one comes up. Oh, I've given my life in service to people in Africa and helped out all the poor and all this and on, you know, the whole list. Step on a scale. Step this way, please. And on it kept with all the things that they've done, all the wonderful works that they've done. You know, I thought of Matthew chapter 7. Them when they profess unto me, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name done many wonderful works and so forth. And I will say to you, depart from me that work iniquity. I never knew you. Because all the good things of these people, and one by one they came up, and the same thing, you know, over this way, and then finally one guy comes up, he's kind of hanging his head down, and hands are folded to the men, and they look at it, and they start to, oh, wow, you know. And then suddenly a folder from the other side is handed to him. He says, oh, he's with you, huh? And he opens up the folder. It says paid in full. And the guy gets ready to step up on the scale. And he's pushed aside. And someone wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus on it stands on the scale. Very good. Go this way. Man, what a silly, but what a perfect illustration of my salvation. It's not me. And when I stand before God to give account of my life, I know that my salvation is secure because it's not based upon me. It's based upon Him. He stands in the scale in my place. My sins are paid in full. They will not be held accountable to me for my salvation. I'm with Him. He took my place. My advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins. The idea of that propitiation is that He's taken me from this state of judgment and condemnation and deserving of the wrath of God. He has cleansed me. He's taken away my sins. And He has put me over here and put me in a state of being able to be a recipient of all God's blessings, all God's mercy and grace. He did it for me. My propitiation took me from that and put me here where I can now receive the riches of the fullness of the grace of God. Chapter 3. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I'm with Him. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It's more than a hope, though. It's a confidence. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. In and of myself, I don't deserve to stand over here receiving all that God gives to me. You testified to that this morning. But through Jesus Christ, this is where I stand. Not because of me. Because of Him. And I've got a confidence because I know whom I believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I'd lose it. I lost a silly little letter. I lose all kinds of stuff. And I'd have sure lost my salvation by now if it was up to me. But it's not. It's up to Him. Thank God. He keeps me saved, not me. A prominent British atheist by the name of Charles Bradlaugh, the 19th century, very outspoken opponent of Christians, he challenged a fellow by the name of Hugh Price Hughes to a debate. Mr. Hughes ran a rescue mission in some of the worst slums in the city of London back at the time. And he challenged him to debate the validity of Christianity. Hughes immediately accepted the challenge, but added this to the qualifications. He says, since we know, and this is quoting Mr. Hughes, since we know, Mr. Bradlaugh, debate as a matter of mental gymnastics will not likely convert anyone, I propose to you that we bring some concrete evidences of the validity of our claims in the form of men and women who have been redeemed from lives of sin and shame by the influences of Christianity and by atheism. I will bring 100, and I challenge you to do the same. If you cannot bring 100, I'll be satisfied with 50, who will stand and testify that they have been lifted from lives of shame by the influence of your teachings. If you cannot bring 50, bring 20, who will testify with shining faces, as my 100 will, that they have a great new joy in a life of self-respect as a result of your atheistic teachings. If not 10, kind of sounds like Abraham, doesn't it? Nay, Mr. Bradlaugh, I challenge you to bring one. Just one man or woman who will make such a testimony regarding the uplifting of your atheistic teachings. My redeemed men and women will bring an unanswerable proof to the saving power of Jesus Christ in the lives of those who have been redeemed from the laveries of sin and shame. Perhaps, Mr. Bradlaugh, this will be the real demonstration of the validity of the claims of Christianity. For answer, Bradlaugh withdrew from the debate because he knew he couldn't produce anybody. And Hughes knew there was no limit, pretty much, to those he could produce. I'm confident in my salvation because I know who I believed and I'm persuaded. I'm confident that my God answers prayer. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Probably the testimony this morning is more of a strength for this point than anything that I can offer. But verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, notice the qualifier, according to His will, He heareth us. You know, the name it and claim it crowd says, "All if you just ask believing, then God's going to give it to you." No, not necessarily. It's got to be according to His will. I'd like $1 million. I know God can't trust me with it, so I'm not going to get it. Not because He's not able, because it's not His will. But this is a confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 21 of 1 John. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's some expectation on our part of walking in a right relationship with Him. But with those qualifications, we have a God that's capable and is willing to answer our prayers. Does Jesus care? Yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, dreary, the long nights weary, I know my Savior cares. And He will answer my prayers according to His will. I'm confident in that. And I'm confident He's still involved in my life. He's still at work. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's at work. He's at work in you. If you're still drawing breath, God's not done with you. When He's done, you're going home. or if you render yourself unuseful, you're going home. As long as you're here, God's working, God's got a purpose, God's doing something or preparing to do something in your life. I'm confident of this. Look at Ephesians 2:10. I just read that, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For we have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's something being prepared for us. I'm confident of that. And as long as God allows me to take breath, He's working and preparing me to receive that full inheritance, that full reward that He's preparing for me and for you. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I pray for these words to be a help and an encouragement to your people this morning. There may be some who are struggling with some things that are just so far beyond them and their ability and their situation that it seems absolutely hopeless and helpless. But God, help them to see that you exist and to put confidence in you and your precious word and your ability to answer their prayers. God, meet the needs as you see them this morning. Stir the hearts of your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.